Well, you remember the old song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? Well, Facebook is now giving you 50 ways to describe your gender. Male and female doesn't cut it anymore.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, let me tell you, friends, we need a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution more than ever. The things we're going to talk about on the air today are shocking beyond words, but it is the state of our society here in America. It is time for God's people to wake up, not with anger or hatred or, God forbid, violence, but to wake up to righteousness, to wake up to the reality of the claims of God. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Okay, the weather has cleared up sufficiently after the storm we had last week that actually by the same day the storm hit its worst, by later that day, things had subsided to the point that the next day, a lot of the ice and snow were melting. Nonetheless, it froze a lot of things across America. Because of that, we had to do some pre-recorded programming on Thursday and Friday. Our studios were closed. Folks didn't have access. So this is the first opportunity I've had to speak with you face-to-face, so to say, about some of these pressing issues in our society today. I'm actually encouraged, not discouraged. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You say, well, Mike, you tend to be encouraged a lot. Well, I am, because Jesus has risen from the dead, because God rules and reigns. Therefore, no matter what I see happening in the world around us, I'm encouraged in the Lord as much as I may be pained and burdened about other things. However, when I see certain movements, certain ideologies going to their natural extremes or their logical extremes, when I see where the trajectory goes, my hope is that people who didn't believe what we were saying before will start to believe us now. That people who thought that this was just some fanatical warning will recognize, okay, we do need to pay careful attention. There are a bunch of things I want to talk to you about. And as always, I want to encourage you that you can make a difference in the Lord. I want to start, though, I want to lay the foundation by saying, last week it was widely announced that Facebook, for its American users, has now given a custom option for gender. If you're not happy with saying male or female, they now give you 50 options. You can weigh in and describe your gender 50 different ways, including 10 simultaneously. Working with Facebook on this was GLAAD, which I have nicknamed the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. CNN is talking with a representative from GLAAD named Rich. Clip number 3, listen to what he had to say.
Talking 50 descriptions, and probably to the average person, Rich, they're going, huh? I don't understand. It's either male or female, right? So just a couple that our team, we didn't know. We didn't hear of cisgender. What about two-spirit?
Two-spirit is a word that many Indigenous Native Americans use today who feel that male and female doesn't best describe who they are.
All right, so of course, two-spirit used by Native Americans, and this person was not either male or female, they were both. That's their perception. Some people perceive themselves to be neither male nor female. Oh, that's an option too. Both is an option. You can be gender fluid, you can be gender complicated. There's even a boy who wants to be known as Tractor. Oh yeah, a lot to talk about.
The world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
Under gender, there's now a custom option, and it allows you to choose from 50 terms. Cisgender, gender fluid, neither, intersex, two-spirit, nonconformist. Just about that,
Jack. Oh, yeah. Now, that was the old Paul Simon classic with the famous Steve Gadd riff on drums, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Now on Facebook, there are 50 ways to describe your gender. I wrote an article by that title, 50 Ways to Describe Your Gender. Just go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article to read it. You'll also want to read the article that posted today. That other one posted last Friday. This posted today, Who Changed Things, where I ask the question, who changed things from the vibrant spirit empowered by life or by death faith of the New Testament today's spineless home and garden Sunday morning religion? Some pressing questions that we ask there with a charge to all of us to just believe God's word for ourselves and live it out. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-7884. What do you think about this? What do you think about what Facebook has done? What do you think about this notion that gender is much more fluid, that male-female is too constricting and actually oppressive, and that a lot of young people really are not home with those categories? What do you think about it? 866-34-TRUTH. Do I have compassion on a boy who's convinced he's a girl and there's no biological evidence, there is no test that can demonstrate this? Maybe as he grows up, he's convinced he's both male and female. Maybe he's convinced he is a gay man in a woman's body, and on and on. In other words, attracted to men, but actually a man in a woman's body. How should we respond to this? Let me be as clear as I can. These things, I believe, are bizarre. I believe they are primarily mentally, emotionally, spiritually related. In other words, that there is not some empirical truth, unless a person is born with ambiguous genitalia, unless a person is born and they're legitimately intersex or they have some physical condition and you do not know whether that child is male or female. Aside from a case like that, okay, so you're talking about 99 point whatever of the cases of those who identify as transgender in one way or another, you're dealing with an internal issue. My heart goes out to someone like this. Many people have struggled deeply. Many people, even after sex change surgery, have struggled deeply. Many found themselves in various times of transition and along the way recognize they have deeper issues in their own lives. My heart goes out to such people, and as God's people and as the church, we need to welcome those struggling into our doors. And I said many times, are we ready for a man coming in wearing a dress, holding a Bible, and raising his hands and praising the Lord during the service? And we're going to try to reach this confused person and help them to really find wholeness in Jesus. At the same time, we are collaborating with madness to think that whatever anybody feels about themselves is therefore who they are. Please help me to understand this, all right? And if you are one of my critics that listens and blast me for my insensitivity and ignorance, then by all means, enlighten our listening audience. Yes, I say that sarcastically, but my phone lines are open to those who agree and those who disagree. And if you can disagree in a literate way or in an educated way, then all the more will I allow you to share your viewpoint. But please help me to understand this. If I am absolutely convinced to the core of my being that I am a woman, does that make me a woman? If I am absolutely convinced to the core of my being that I am black, does that make me black? If I am utterly convinced to the core of my being that I am a Viking, does that make me a Viking? To the core of my being, I've always felt out of place as an American. I've always felt out of place as a white man. I've always felt out of place as a Jew. I've always felt out of place as a male. I'm convinced to the core of my being that I am a female black Viking. Does it make me such? Why is it any different if someone says that my gender switches from day to day? that and or from hour to hour, I want to be identified this way in this case and this way in that case. Why is this any different than the case of Dennis Avner? You say, who is Dennis Avner? Well, he was a U.S. Navy veteran. He spent years undergoing body modifications, including whiskers, ears, and a mechanical tail. He had some Native American blood. He was encouraged to go with the cat spirit within him. And he had operations to split his top lip, make his ears pointed, silicone cheek and forehead implants, tooth fillings, tattoos. When did he die? Tragically, November of 2012. It was believed that he killed himself. His friends called him as troubled as he was remarkable. If he really believed to the core of his being that he was somehow feline, that he was really a cat in a human body or a cat spirit in a human body, why, please, someone help me to understand, why is that any different than what we're talking about here? How is it any different than what someone really feels about themselves and believes to be true? Joey, let's play clip number four. This is Rich Ferraro from GLAAD on CNN, and he's discussing these very issues.
Interesting. So what do you say to those folks that are like, okay, this is just way too much to understand and comprehend, and why can't we just keep it more simple?
Sure. I don't think it's ridiculous to accept LGBT young people for who they are. I think that Facebook has really made a great step forward to telling those young people that you can be who you are on Facebook.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. We all want to be who we are.
We all want to be who we are. It's a beautiful thing. So that whatever I feel about myself, that is now reality. I quote it when I was on the Tyra Banks show years back, talking about, quote, transgender children, where they had little kids 7, 8 years old. This is Joey. He used to be Jane. He used to be a boy. Now he's a girl. Now she's a girl. Just, you know, 7, 8 years old, just because the kid perceives that deeply about themselves and then feels very much relieved or at home when they can act out being what they really believe they are. And then the parents identify them such and the schools identify them as such. I asked the question that had been asked by Dr. Paul McHugh of Johns Hopkins, or I raised the point that you don't give liposuction to an anorexic. An anorexic actually believes that he or she is fat, and they start to starve themselves and not take care of themselves adequately because they're absolutely sure they're fat, and all the amount of empirical evidence doesn't help them, and some people can actually die of this condition. But we don't give them liposuction. We don't play into their particular fantasy or delusion or deception. And compassion does not say, let's give them a liposuction. Compassion does not say, okay, if you believe that you're gender complicated, gender fluid, two spirit, but sometimes neither gender at all, we want to honor that. No, you want to get to the root of this kid's problem or this adult's problem and help them. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Deshaun in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
Going well, thanks.
All right, so with the whole Facebook issue, I really just see it as a way for the enemy to continue to creep in to the minds of people and also to fortify his kingdom or his agenda. We as believers, I think the option that we have is to just show people the way of Christ, show people the way of God, and also show them that whoever God made you to be, that's who you are from the beginning.
Deshaun, let me ask you a question. I agree with what you're saying, but what if they say, well, this is who I am. God made me this particular way, and I'm a boy in a girl's body. What would you say to them?
Well, if that's what they believe, and if someone was to ever tell me that, I would actually question them and ask them, well, does this line up with what you're saying? Does it line up with what God has said about you? If you acknowledge God as being the creator, being your creator, does this line up with what's in his word?
Does it All right, line up? Or simply the question of if he created you, did he create you male or female? Again, we know there's a tiny, tiny percentage of cases where it can be ambiguous at birth, and those are very difficult situations for families. But right, if we ask the question, how did God create you? And look, we know that the mind is very powerful, that human emotions are very powerful, and that they can play all kinds of tricks on us. And Deshaun, I appreciate you ultimately pointing us to Jesus and reminding us that we've got to do our best to lead people to the Lord and bring them to wholeness there. So thank you for the call. But look, you can have a panic attack and be 100% convinced of something to the core of your being, and no one can talk you out of it, and yet it's not true. We can believe all kinds of things to the core of our being, but that does not change reality. We're just getting started. Friends, we need a moral, cultural revolution, and it's got to start with the gospel. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here comes Dick. He's wearing a skirt. Here comes Jane. You know she's sporting a chain.
Our nation has made great strides on the road to LGBT equality, a cause that I believe is a defining civil rights challenge of our time for President Obama, for me, and for our colleagues at every level, every level of this administration. This work is a top
priority.
That
is the voice of Attorney General Eric Holder speaking at dinner for the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization that challenged me by name after a lecture series that I did back in 2007, leading to a debate that I did with Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian, as well as a practicing homosexual. And the music was The Replacements. That was not meant as a mocking song. That was meant as a positive song. The Replacements singing the song Androgynous. Now, look. I wrote an article. It came out when August of last year, all right? It was about the new bill in California that went into effect and has been challenged in the courts, Assembly Bill 1266, which not only said that any student K through 12 could use the bathroom of their choice. If they a boy identifies as a girl, he uses the girl's bathroom, girl identifies as a boy, boy's bathroom. No medical, psychological evaluation, no test. What test would there be? This is the child's self-perception, at least at that moment. They can use the bathroom of choice. But no, this bill went further. And the bill said that you could play on the sports team of your choice. So here's what I wrote. 18-year-old Sam, who is convinced that he is actually Sally, can not only come to school dressed as a girl and use the girls' bathroom, he can play on the girls' basketball team and use their locker room too. You might have thought, all right, sure, that's going to happen. Well, it's happened. 17-year-old boy, Pat Cordova Goff, he played freshman baseball. Now, at 17, he is now going to play on the girls' softball team. He's convinced that he's a girl. He will now play on the girls' softball team, described as 5'8", broad-shouldered. I mean, look, he could be a 6'8" kid, a boy that feels he's a girl is going to play on the girls' basketball team and use the girls' locker room. This is actually happening. This report I'm reading on the Daily Caller said Cordova Boss, 17, was born a boy and by all accounts remains a boy, but now identifies as a girl. He's undergone no surgical treatments, procedures, or treatments. But of course, if it's simply a matter of how you feel, how you perceive yourself, but of course. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia. Steve, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've been around a long time, Dr. Brown, and for those of us who know the Bible, what we're seeing is the first chapter of Romans in living color on our TV and on our radio every single day. It's amazing how the Bible is so true.
Yeah, I mean, the basic point, Steve, that you would be making is as our society became more and more sensual and as our society became more and more idolatrous with serving self more than serving God, became more and more narcissistic, then our beliefs in God began to degenerate. Then we began to become more and more sexually immoral. Then homosexuality began to be celebrated. And it's just further list. You could say, no, we've advanced in civil rights, as Attorney General Holder is claiming. This is a new civil rights issue. Or you could recognize this is all the fruit of the sexual revolution of the 60s. This is all the fruit of the casting off of divine standards and rights and wrongs. Male and female, he created them. We deviate from that, and gender is however you define it, and obviously, that's limitless. Whatever you come up with, that's why Facebook gives you 50 options, and that's why you can use 10 simultaneous descriptions. Okay, one more clip, and then I want to share something encouraging with you. This is an interview on NPR, National Public Radio. I want to play clip number 15. I just want you to hear this before we go any further in the discussion. This is what's being justified. This is what's being celebrated. This is what's being esteemed as normal expression that we should now welcome. Number 15.
But some students are going further. At one college, things were so fluid you could make up a different pronoun for a different event.
So you can be she, her at one event, and then you go to lunch and you say, okay, now I'm he, him. And then one charming young woman told me, oh, yes, today I'm just using made-up pronouns.
We encountered high school students who said, I want you to call me Tractor and use pronouns like ze, zim, and zer. And in fact, I reject the gender binary as an oppressive move by the dominant culture.
All right, I've got more to play, but I'm going to do that on the other side of the break. I'm not making this up. This is not some pseudo NPR voice over that we've done. And this is real stuff going on. Tomorrow, I have a guest that's going to be calling in from Mozambique, Africa, all going well. She has been on the field with her husband, working with the poorest of the poor, and almost killed for the gospel a number of times, and seeing some of the most extraordinary works of God in the midst of some extraordinary suffering. She's going to be joining me tomorrow, Heidi Baker. She wrote a book called Birthing the Miraculous, and it's how everything comes out of your time alone with God, your personal encounters with God. And then she tells her stories. We've had many folks work with her and know her well for years. It's the real deal in the midst of terrible hardship, terrible suffering, the real deal. Thousands of churches planted, many, many documented miracles, Jesus being brought to hurting and poor people. And this was one of the most stirring, inspiring books I've read in years. I mean, when I read it, I was just stirred to the core. I wanted more than ever, just to get along with God. That's the focus. That's what you come away with, a deeper love relationship with Jesus and a faith for the impossible. You can get the book together with tomorrow's interview I'll be doing with Heidi. $25, postage paid. We want to send this out to you. Trust me on this. This book will deeply impact you, especially if you believe in the work and power of the Spirit for today. If you can help us with an additional gift, that's wonderful. But everybody take advantage of this. $25, the book plus the interview that we'll be doing tomorrow. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to my webpage, AskDrBrown.org. You can order there. You won't be disappointed.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, how many times do we have to say I'm not making this up? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me just play one more clip from the interview, NPR, the discussion of multiple gender identities. Let me say again, if you or someone in your family struggles in this way, let's stand together and work to help overcome these struggles. There's a great, useful website called helpforfamilies.com. Help, the number four, families. Helpforfamilies.com. It's put together by Denise Schick, whose father had this lifelong secret and towards the end of his life said that he was actually a woman and shared that with his daughter, shared his secret. Can you imagine what that does to a daughter? Shared his secret with her. And, you know, something she struggled with, knowing what was going on with her dad for years, and talks about when her dad was older, known as Becky, and dying of cancer in the hospital, and obviously with hormones and things like that. He said nothing ever prepares you to go in the hospital and see your dad taking off his bra. Yes, confusion. We want to stand with people and help them come out of their confusion rather than affirm it. So, quote what I read that we played at the end of the last segment. Lynn Walker says, we encountered students who said, I want you to call me Tractor. I want to be a boy or a girl or a male or a female or a human. Why don't you call me Tractor and use pronouns like Z, Zim, and Zer? She says, I reject the gender binary, in other words, male, female, as an oppressive move by the dominant culture. Friends, words fail when we talk about social madness like this. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's listen to clip number 16 as Lynn Walker continues. The discussion continues.
That's Lynn Walker, a director at Housing Works, an organization that provides housing for those with HIV. About 10% of their clients are transgender. Walker teaches a course called Trans 101 for all new hires. When she started coming across people who were gender nonconforming in so many different ways, she began to ask new questions.
And then part of the intake is to say, well, what pronoun do you like today? It might just be today.
Because Walker has clients who might be Jimmy one day and Dolores the next.
Once you develop the habit of saying, oh, that person, that's a she, that's Dolores. Doesn't matter that she looks rather like Jimmy. Or looks like she was called Jimmy by her parents.
Friends, we are collaborating with a serious disorder. Nothing less than that, rather than helping. 866-34-TRUTH. Gino in the Bronx, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Thank you for taking my call. I see it slightly differently, but I'm going to agree mostly with you, Dr. Brown. I see the problem, though, as having been the political correctness of the left and how they have forced the agenda on all of us over the last 50 years. This is why when we send our children to public schools and they have books like Heather Has Two Mommies, which was 30 years ago, or Jimmy Has Five Fathers, or that anybody who has any type of religious or moral background is a hated individual, when the popular media does this to us, this is why we are sowing the seeds of our own self-destruction. We cannot collaborate. We cannot compromise with these people. We must defeat them and defeat them at the polls. This is the time. This is the year. You must register to vote, whether you believe in God or not, whether you believe that there will be divine intervention or not. You must help yourself. God helps those who help themselves. Go out there, vote. Vote against these bums. Take them out before they destroy us all.
All right. That was Gino from the Bronx. We'll be right back.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I preached at a local church yesterday morning and evening. A woman came up to me at night. She had gone to my website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. She'd gone to the website, and she'd read some of my recent articles. And she said, "You articulate what I feel. You say what I feel." I'm very conscious of that. I'm very conscious of being on the air as your listener-sponsored voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. In other words, I know that part of my role is to help represent you when I stand before secular media, when I interact with those that don't believe as we do, or when I speak to those that are believers but who may be confused about these issues. I know that many of you are cheering me on, and it is my goal to honor the Lord as a witness for him and to honor you to help articulate our common voice. Before I go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, Joe, I'm going to play this from my end. This was the interview a few years back on the Tyra Banks show. Next to me was a man who had sex change surgery and is now known as Dr. Marcy Bowers and is known as the rock star of sex change surgery because Dr. Bowers performs those. And then Kim Pearson, who herself is straight and is a transgender advocate. Joe, you may have to turn it up a bit, but just want you to hear some of the interaction that took place. There was a lot of interruption, and in the midst of it, I'm going to come in where Tyra Banks asked me a question out of the blue, because this is not supposed to be a question about homosexuality, so she asked me this question out of the blue. Here's how we answered it. Here's where the discussion went.
Listen to the family.
So how do you feel about gay, just gay people, gay children?
Well, this is not an issue of gay children.
No, I know. I'm just trying to get your
I love gays and lesbians. I believe God created male and female. There's the best order. I love gays and lesbians, but this is not a gay and lesbian issue. This is an issue of gender
conversion
identity disorder.
Conversion therapy doesn't work.
We're not talking about conversion therapy. Here, look, Dr. Kenneth Zucker is one of the world's leading authorities on this. He's treated 900 children, and
so
he says the best thing to do.
What age do you think is the right age? What age do you think
it's
is
not,
the right age?
We want to help the kids be at home in the biological body they were getting. When a kid's born, we don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
When that doesn't work, Michael. When that doesn't work.
Over how many years? Then you're going to put them on drugs, hormone blockers, and you're going to chop off their penis and put them on drugs for the rest of their life? That's the good solution?
Make children miserable? How long? What's the right amount of time?
There are ways as parents and families that are proven,
they don't
clinically
work.
Tested.
They're not proven.
Why are you going to deny? Listen,
they're
you have your
proven.
Opinion. You have experiments
There's
here.
Just
you don't
as
even
much
know for
medical.
Sure. You have experiments. You're experimenting
no,
with
we're
kids'
not.
All right, and the discussion went on and on, but I asked them a question. What about someone who has what is called body identity integrity disorder, BIID, sometimes just shortened body identity disorder, BID? That person is convinced, their mind map tells them that they should not have a right arm beneath the elbow, that they should not have a left leg. They're tormented by it. It would be like us having a head growing out of our shoulder. It's a monstrosity to them. Some of them have laid by the side of a train track to have a train run over their leg. Some of them have gotten surgeons to remove healthy body parts, healthy limbs, and then they're thrilled when they did it. They're now happy. They're in a wheelchair. They always thought they should be in a wheelchair. They always related to being an amputee. Now they're happy. Now, for some, it's an erotic stimulation, but for many, it's just a matter of now, okay, I finally got rid of that intrusive thing. I asked them, should that person be allowed surgically to remove a healthy limb? And they said, no. Well, based on what standard? That person's self-perception is just as real as the person's self-perception that they're a girl and a boy in a boy's body or whatever it is. Or neither gender, or multiple genders, or Jimmy 1 hour and Dolores the next, as Lynn Walker just said, that person's self-perception is very real to them. In fact, studies have been done that have documented the similarities between the perception of someone with body identity integrity disorder and someone whose perception is that they're in the wrong body sexually or in terms of gender. Great, great similarities. Well, why is it an outrage to cut off the limbs of someone that's totally healthy? Why is that outrageous, but sex change surgery is wonderful? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to... All right, we won't go there. Let's go to Martin in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, great. I am a Christian. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I am also transgender, and I am just calling to, you wanted someone literate to call and try to help you guys out with this. First of all, that this topic is totally too vast for it to be discussed in an intelligent way over a radio. So you're doing the best you can, and I applaud you for doing the best you can. The reason I say that it's too vast is because you're grasping at straws. When you make comparisons of a transgender person to an anorexic, though, that's apples and oranges. That's two totally way out fields, and you've done that several times. You've made comparisons that don't parallel with the situation. There's not enough information. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, secret things belong to the Lord, and that which is revealed, he'll show us. I categorize this as one of those secret things that we do not have enough information on it. And the more you get on the broadcast and talk about this and make these comparisons, people are listening to that, and it's making them more and more confused. It is not a simple subject that can be addressed.
All right, so Martin, let me thank you so much for calling. Let me ask you a couple of questions, okay? Who did God create you? Who are you?
My physical body is male.
All right, and who do you perceive yourself to be on the inside?
I am male. I have accepted the way God created me, but at the same time, I also know that there is a difference between my maleness and the maleness of a heterosexual male. I do not have the same biological trappings that they have. And if I was to fool myself and make myself think that I am just the typical all-American male, I would be deceiving myself. Mm-hmm. And it would cause me more psychological damage. So what I do is I express my reality, but I don't try to change my maleness. I know this is the body God made me. I'm not going to go cut off any parts of my body or anything like that. But I have to realize that I am not the same. And if I try to force myself to think that I'm the same, that's going to cause psychological damage. Oh. And that's why you have these Catholic priests who force themselves to be celibate, why they do what they do to those little boys, those altar boys. That's why all of that's happening, is because people are suppressing so much.
Let me ask this, Martin, just to understand. So your birth certificate says you're male.
Yes, it
and
does.
You identify as male, but you say that you do not identify as male the way most heterosexual males do. But you say it would be wrong to have sex change surgery and change who you are physically, or to call yourself...
For me personally, I feel as a Christian that God would not want me to change a physical part of my body. If I were not a Christian and if I did not believe in God, maybe I would have. But I always refer to the Bible. The Bible doesn't speak about transgender or homosexuality. The closest thing that it comes to is the eunuch, the eunuch. No one talks about them.
Martin, in the book I have coming out, Can You Be Gay and Christian, it'll come out in May. I do talk about that at some length, but bear in mind the person that would be called a eunuch is someone that is sexless. In other words, when gay activists use Jesus' teaching in Matthew 19 to say this sanctions homosexual behavior, no, it talks about some people being sexless, and some are born that way, some are made that way by people, you know, they're castrated, and others simply say that I will be separated from marriage or sex for the rest of my life to serve God. And Martin, listen, I'm not saying that anything is easy, and I commend you for recognizing that it's not your call to start restructuring your body and things like that. But I want to ask you a question. We'll have a break, and then you can answer on the other side of the break. So please consider this. You claim I'm making things more confusing. I say that when we get away from God's trajectory and now open it up to I am whoever I perceive myself to be, then I could be gender fluid, gender complicated. You could call me Tractor. That's what one of these kids does. I've got other people that are convinced that they're actually part vampire, part werewolf. I mean, they believe this to the core of their being. So I say it gets complicated once we start making definitions by how we perceive ourselves. Back to you when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm right now on the phone with Martin, who identifies as a transgender Christian, but I understand he would say he's a Christian first and does not believe as a Christian that he should have sex change surgery. As I said from the start, as bizarre as things sound to us, we need to be ready to open our church doors, our congregational doors to those who come in various stages of self-understanding and identifying in different ways and reach out to them and help them to find wholeness in the gospel. I would say quite plainly, the Bible makes very clear that homosexual practice is forbidden. There's no question about that. And there's also one verse in Deuteronomy 22 that does talk about a man wearing a woman's garments. Interestingly, even though it's in Deuteronomy, it uses the expression something hateful to the Lord, which normally does refer to a universal abomination. But gender distinctions are often raised in important ways throughout Scripture. Our standing is equal. There's neither male nor female in Jesus. Our standing is exactly equal. But there are gender distinctions in terms of calling and activity, and those are very important because when you violate them, you mess with the whole created order. So my question to Martin before the break, Martin said that I'm further confusing things by some of the analogies I'm using, or someone with body identity integrity disorder that's convinced they shouldn't have a limb or something like that, that I'm confusing things. And my contention is that the confusion is coming from those who say that my gender is whatever I define it to be. Hence, you've got a 17-year-old boy who's now going to play on the girls' softball team. So, Martin, I do want to go back to you and ask you to clarify. If I just believe what I believe, I'm convinced to the core of my being, and I've always been convinced that this is who I am, does that change reality, or does that open the door to confusion?
Well, I will have to apologize for using the word confused. I think that what you're doing is you're oversimplifying the situation. It's not confusing because it's clear what you're saying is clear, but you're oversimplifying the situation with your comparison.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that nuance. So Martin, I want to be as sensitive to this as I can. And I do appreciate your tone in calling. As I see it, and as I've warned, when we deviate from God's norm and base things on just what we perceive ourselves to be, let's get away from those that have physical issues, okay? And let's say you've got two people who are as biologically male and as biologically female as is humanly possible, all right? Now this person is convinced, though, that there's something else. Why don't we help them on the inside work out their confusion, because God clearly did make them male or female? Why must we base things on someone's internal self-perception?
You don't have to, and that's the word you're using, self-perception. If it's self-perception, then I agree with you. But if it's deeper than self-perception, I have to disagree with you. And that's why I say you have to narrow this conversation down to, are you talking about people who are self-perceiving, or are you talking about people who are born this way, totally born this way without any self-perception. Who would choose to live in the world like this and be bashed, gay bashed? Who would make that choice to actually put themselves out there? No one would choose that. Obviously, it's deeper than self-perception. So if you're going to have this conversation, it would be, I would say, to narrow it down to, are these people self-perceiving themselves? Let's talk about that. Or you want to talk about it on a deeper level. Is this genetics? Is this biological? Is this neurological? We don't know. There is an area of this that none of us know, not even the transgender gay people. There's stuff that they don't even know about.
All right. So just to jump in, I got my eye on the clock, and because it is talk radio with certain segments and times. That's the issue. In other words, I've also researched this for years and years and years and spoken to specialists in these areas. And yes, there is debate. I mean, we know for sure that there is no reputable scientific evidence that someone is, quote, born gay. But then you'll have others say, we don't know how or why. But here's what we do know. We do know the Bible.
The bottom line. And that's why the scripture says, secret things belong to the Lord.
And what does the rest of the verse say? In Deuteronomy 29, what's the rest of the verse say? No, the rest of the verse says, but that which is open and revealed belongs to the Lord our God, that we may do all the words of this law. In other words, I have tremendous sympathy for someone that says, as long as I can remember, I was attracted to the same sex. Or as long as I can remember, I was convinced I was trapped in a wrong body. And I was embarrassed as my body was developing. And I wanted to kill myself or mutilate myself. Those are agonizing things. I've read those stories. I've gotten alone with God and wept over them because they're agonizing stories. But we do not now change reality. And then now put the kid on hormone blockers and then sex change surgery and then hormones for life, or now try to legitimize homosexual behavior. So why there are certain people claim that there is a violent gene or an obesity gene. And, you know, a lot of things, genetics or what happens to a kid in the womb or the diets that we eat today and what's in foods, and it messes with things. But what we do know is what scripture says is clear, and that's what we have to hold to. So I think if we go to the rest of the verse you're quoting, sir, we end up there. Listen, I would love to speak with you again. If I'm ever in the city, I'd love to meet you face to face. But if you'd let me send you a book by a gentleman who went through some lifelong struggles with very similar issues and is now whole in the Lord, although his body is not fully whole because of surgery he had, I would love to send you a book by a fellow named Walt Heyer. If you'll allow me to do it, I won't put you on a mailing list. Once we send it to you, we will discard your address. But if you'll allow me to do that, Martin, I would love to get your take on it once you have a chance to read it. So stay right there. And if you're willing to let us send this to you, Dwight, we'll get your name and address. And then once you read it, please do call in again. All right, friends, thanks for waiting so patiently. Our phone lines have been jammed. If you can just hold on another couple of minutes, I want to get to your calls on the other side of the break. But I felt it was really important, for obvious reasons, to hear what Martin had to say and to give him the ability to speak and to share his heart. I think it's important that we hear from folks who differ with us. Let's pray just for the blessing of God and complete wholeness in Martin's life. The book that we're featuring this week is a deeply spiritual book. It is, what can I say? It's a book that has stirred me to meet with God. It's called Birthing the Miraculous by Heidi Baker. And you'll be stirred reading her own story. It's the real deal. She's lived it out almost 40 years as a missionary to the poorest of the poor in Mozambique, Africa. And you can get the book with the interview we'll be doing tomorrow. $25, postage paid. So stand with us and be blessed in the process. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, I've said it over and again, but it remains the same. When we deviate from God's standards at creation, we open the door to massive confusion. Well, you remember the old song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? Well, Facebook is now giving you 50 ways to describe your gender. Male and female doesn't cut it anymore.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
Under gender, there's now a custom option, and it allows you to choose from 50 terms. Cisgender, gender fluid, neither, intersex, two-spirit, nonconforming.
Just about that, Jack. You make a new plan, Stan.
Yeah, I wrote about this the end of last week, but due to the storm, our studios were closed. We were unable to get in and be with you live on Friday. So here we are, able to interact, take your calls, take your questions, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me lay out something very basic and foundational for you, all right? We're talking about Facebook now allowing American users to customize gender. Male, female are not enough, so it is male, female, or choose out of any 50 items. GLAAD, which I've nicknamed the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, a large gay activist organization that worked with Facebook on this, said, well, it doesn't cover everything, but it's a good step in the right direction. Doesn't cover everything. And you can actually choose 10 different options simultaneously. This means that people who are either just deciding reality is what I make it. One of our team members here posted a note saying, you know, this is just like the 60s generation with rock and roll, you know, our way of rebelling against the norm. There is something to it. Like, I'm going to break the rules. I'm going to break gender rules. There's a well-known book came out a few years back and now in a second edition called Gender Outlaws, where people are going to say, hey, I'm not going to conform to the norm. For others, it goes much deeper. There's a real internal struggle. And a lot of kids pass through a certain level of uncertainty as they grow up. And then they have the media bombardment with all of that uncertainty. Now you hear about this top model, and isn't she gorgeous? Well, she's actually born a man and had sex change surgery, and hey, that's the new norm. And maybe a kid struggles with their own identity or manhood or womanhood. Maybe a kid that's a tomboy is now going to be convinced that they're a boy in a girl's body. We need compassion. We need wisdom. We need pastoral wisdom in helping people. But once you get away from the biblical foundations, the trajectory quickly goes off course. I'm going to get your phone calls momentarily. My colleague, Bill Muhlenberg, an American who's lived in Australia for many, many years. We've never met face-to-face, but we've read one of those writings. I wrote an endorsement to an excellent book he wrote about homosexual activism. He writes this in an article today, Gender Bender Insanity. Consider this shocker of a headline. Confusion of girl 7 who calls lesbian stepmother mom and dad after she became a transgender male and grew a beard. A primary school girl in Australia calls her step-parent both mom and dad after the woman became a transgender male, had her breast removed, and grew a beard. The 7-year-old girl is confused about her step-parent who was once her biological mother's lesbian lover. In a closed hearing of the family court in Queensland, the transgender man referred to as Mr. Brown, not me, was applying for regular contact with his stepdaughter following a separation from the girl's mother. So he had been a woman in lesbian relationship with the biological mother of the girl. Then he had sex change surgery and grew a beard. Now the girl, 7, calls him mom and dad. What do you say? What do you say? Are you not speechless? We'll be right back, and you'll get to have your say on the air.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm completely serious about this question. I don't mean it to demean anyone's suffering or struggles. I don't mean it in a jocular way so as to take away from the seriousness of the subject. But if I am utterly convinced to the core of my being that I am black and not white, does that make me black? Should I be treated as a black man? Should I have whatever, if there were civil rights issues, should I be put in the category of, let's say there was a crime against me, that it would be potentially a hate crime against me? I know it sounds crazy. I'm simply asking questions. Should I be allowed to tan myself as dark as I can because I feel that I'm black? You say, you're just making... No, I'm not. I'm asking a serious question. How do we define reality? 866-34-TRUTH. Rana in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I was just about to hang up because I have my food to go and cook. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for letting your food go cold to talk on the air.
Yes, thank you for what you're doing, Brother Kevin, but I'm reading a Bible verse for you in Thessalonians 2. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe it not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What you're doing, Brother Kevin, you continue to do it. But please, if that young man Martin is still on the line waiting for you to send that book, tell him to read the Bible and let the Holy Spirit guide him to truth. Because, sir, it doesn't matter what you do. They're going to hate you. Because you're telling them the truth and they don't want to hear it. But don't let them bombard you coming out this ear. Keep on the ear and say the truth at all time. Because truth will always overcome lies.
Yes, it will. Hey, Rana, thanks for the call. And I realize that you were holding for my call, for my show in the previous hour. Now Kevin McCullough is on the station you're listening to in New York on WMCA, hence calling me Kevin. But I don't mind being confused with Kevin. I'm going to have to find out if he minds being confused with me. How do we tell the difference between fantasy and reality? How do we tell the difference between something that I feel in the core of my being, to the very depths of my soul? How do I distinguish that from reality? Is it possible that we can deceive ourselves? Is it possible? Yeah. Can I be Kevin McCullough if I perceive myself to be? And Matt, remember, I before E, except after C. All right? Little spelling lesson here. But in all seriousness, how do we determine things? And if it's simply a matter of self-perception, or as Martin from the last hour said, that this is how you've always felt all your life, and could it be genetics? Well, genetics that say what? Genetics that say that I'm neither gender? That would be what you'd call a deep-seated psychological or emotional or spiritual disorder. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Boston. Pastor Beach, thanks so much for holding, and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I want to commend you because there's a lot of us leaders and other pastors are afraid to deal with this topic. So I truly would pray that the other pastors and those who truly love the Lord will hold you up in prayer.
Thank you, sir. Let me just ask you a question first before you get to your point. I'm aware of some of the answers, but from your perspective as a pastor, why are many of your colleagues afraid to address these issues?
Well, the truth of the matter, I'm a traveling evangelist. I've traveled from the islands to Africa, and I've experienced things with leaders. And there are a lot of our musicians, people in key places, our worship leaders, they are very gifted, particularly in our our black churches. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time we overlooked the sin to use the gift. And if we offend the gift, a lot of our church, because most churches are grown because of a good choir director, a good organ player, and I'm not afraid to say it. And when we lose that choir director and that good organ player, which they're homosexual, then the church doesn't grow, and then we're in financial problems. So it's a lot of things that attach to it. It's a lot of things, and it's sad. It's sad that we choose. We're building God's church, but basically a lot of us are building our own church. So a lot of people, I've been on certain network myself, and large network, which I can't say the names, and they might be listening, but I've been told you can't speak on this, and you can't speak on that, and it's pretty sad, and we're supposed to be preaching the gospel. So it's also confusing amongst quote-unquote leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what you mentioned in terms of black churches, Pastor Ken Hutcherson, late Pastor Ken Hutcherson told me that very same thing in terms of black Christian culture. In white Christian culture, there may be other things, just the fear of offending someone over a controversial issue. Perhaps someone who's a big giver in your church has a kid who just came out as gay and they're personally offended by it. Or you don't want to seem politically incorrect. You don't want to now get blasted. Because, look, the fact of the matter is, the moment you address these things, you become a target. You do get attacked. You do get maligned. Now people will start calling you, well, that's the hateful church, that's the bigot church, and things like that. And a lot of folks, unfortunately, are more concerned about their reputations than God's reputation. A lot of times
now I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. If you're going to preach the truth, more people are going to come at you. I've been in a church in Atlanta, and I was an invited pastor. And the preacher was upset with the people talking about his organ player who was gay. And it's amazed me that, you know, you should reprimand him. The people knows what they want. But I would have gotten up and leave that church anyhow. But it was so confusing.
And it's one thing to say, hey, we want to help you. You know, as Martin called in the last hour, said nobody would choose to go through this kind of ridicule and be hated and things like that. And then we have to distinguish between someone who says, look, I struggle with attractions to the same sex, and I even have some effeminate mannerisms, but I'm living a holy life. I don't engage in that practice. I'm celibate. If God changes my heart, I'll marry the opposite sex one day. If not, I'll serve him celibate. That person, boy, do they need our compassion. Do they need our help? Do they need our solidarity? That's completely different than saying, hey, practicing homosexuals, we're going to look the other way, or we're going to rewrite the Bible to somehow justify it. Yeah, we need, sir, an awakening of the fear of the Lord in our midst, and then an awakening of the power of the gospel to really change people to the very core of who they are. Brother, may the Lord bless you as you stand for truth, and thank you for calling. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Manhattan. Susan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
You're welcome. Hello. Hi. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. Thanks.
First of all, I wanted to say that people are misguided, and this country is pretty much breeding confusion, and God bless you for standing for the truth and for God's trajectory, like you originally said. But to me, my point is that the devil is a liar, and it's all about the children. People are forgetting that the first couple that were married, Sean Klein, he was caught with pornography, and then he jumped into the train tracks. Then people are forgetting the abuse. I think his name was from Duke University, a professor. His name was Frank Lombard. Where he had adopted a child, and then he had molested his adopted child and then tried to sell him through the internet.
Yeah.
So it's about all this. I think nobody's standing up. The pastors aren't standing up for the truth, and they're afraid. So everything is in our faces. We're supposed to accept this. And I speak from, I have family members that are homosexuals. I have and lesbians. I have friends that are homosexuals. And yet I speak to them about the truth. I speak to them about what God states, not what anybody else states. So bless you. Thank God that you're leading the way, that you are really abiding by the word of the Lord.
Hey, Susan, thanks so much for calling. May the Lord use you to be a blessing and real help to your family members. All right, I've got some startling audio clips I want to play for you, a few other issues we want to address, and of course your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Also a special announcement for those in the larger Charlotte area. And I want to clarify some things in terms of children being raised in same-sex households. I want to get back to something Susan said on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, we're talking about what happened with Facebook last week because of the storm. We couldn't talk about it live on Friday. I did write an article about this 50 ways to describe your gender. Yes, based on the 50 ways to leave your lover theme, the old Paul Simon song. If you didn't read the article, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. You'll also see one I posted today called Who Changed Things? Who Changed Things? Who Changed Things from the Vibrant Spirit Empowered by Life or by Death Faith of the New Testament to today's Spineless Home and Garden Sunday Morning Religion? Who Changed Things from Leave Everything and Follow Me to Pray This Little Prayer and You're Set for Eternity? Who Changed Things from All Who Live Godly Lives in Christ Jesus Will Suffer Persecution to Ask Jesus into Your Heart and Enjoy a Comfortable Life? Who Changed Things from a Fearless Proclamation of the Truth, Whatever the Cost or Consequences, to a Watered-Down, Compromised Message that is Afraid to Offend Anyone? By what authority, by whose decree, based on what new revelation have we so blatantly departed from the faith of the apostles? Who Changed Things? We're talking about Facebook saying that you could now identify yourself in 50 different ways in terms of gender. I documented in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which becomes more and more essential reading with every day that goes by. I documented things there that Harvard University, one of their online business, online applications for the business school, gave choices, male, female, and then a third choice, because male, female was not sufficient, male, female, transgender. And I've often thought, as I'm in and out of airports all the time and walking down the terminals, and there you've got male and female, the bathrooms, I'm wondering how long before you have to add another option because male, female is not sufficient. Well, after I completed the book, Harvard changed things to male, female, other, please specify, because transgender was too constricting. GLAAD, which I've nicknamed the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, helped Facebook develop this and said, well, good, 50 identities, that's great, but it's not enough. It's not the full spectrum. Now, what about kids who are raised in same-sex homes? What about a boy who's raised by two gay male parents? Is that kid going to be abused or all those men sexual predators? Oh, certainly a gross misstatement and misconception to think that gay men are primarily adopting boys so they can sexually abuse them. That's a horrific misstatement. However, there are all too many cases of abuse. And aside from the fact that the kid is raised unattached from the biological mother and with no mother role model and no understanding of how male and female are to interact, which is one reason that they should not be raised in a same-sex household, you do have prominent examples. And unfortunately, the media that celebrates the one part doesn't tell you about the other part. There is a case with an American pedophile. He married, quote, married a man, or his boyfriend was from New Zealand. And they were hailed as this wonderful couple, and media reported, oh, this great couple, these two men, what great fathers they are, only to find out that they were running a sex ring with their adopted Russian son. Does this happen all the time? No, of course not. Is it the norm? I would say, of course not. But the tragedy is that the media that hails these wonderful, wonderful parents is the same media that's almost silent on the horrific abuses that sometimes do take place. And another reason, although it's a sub-reason, why you need to seriously look at adoption laws. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Albert in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Yeah. I want to make a comment about that sex agenda. If we listen to the Word of God and we truly believe the Word of God, what it says, we will know that all those things that's going on, it is written in the Bible. In Romans 1 says that man will have no affection for another woman, and woman will not have any affection for man. They're gonna have affection for their own agenda and stuff like that. And even in the days of Lot, when the angels came to get Lot out of Sodom, the people there were so lost. They want, Lot says, I'm going to give you my daughters, the men. I'm going to give you my daughters. They refused. They said, Lord, I need those men that walked in. And the angel had to blind them to get Lot out. Yet still, they still wanted to get through and get the angel. And it today is the same thing that's going on, that man and woman that has an affection for their own agenda, that they themselves are still lost.
And I'm just going to jump in because of time here, Albert. What is clear, there are a few things that are clear. One is that when you do have a sexual revolution, as we had here in America, as I commented in the first hour when someone raised Romans 1, that it will lead to all different types of promiscuity and it will lead to an increase in homosexual behavior. It's that simple. That's one thing. The second thing is that although people are going to argue about the Sodom and Gomorrah account and say, well, this is an issue of gang rape as opposed to just two men or two women who love each other and so on, let's focus on what we do know. There is far more promiscuity among homosexual males than heterosexual males. There is far more promiscuity among bisexual males than heterosexual males. In other words, we get off track. And then when heterosexual males are not satisfied with the husband-wife relationship, you end up opening the door to further abuses and issues. 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, tomorrow I'm going to have on at least the first hour, hopefully 2 hours, Heidi Baker from Mozambique. This is a woman with her husband, Roland, who have served the poorest of the poor in Africa and other parts of the world for almost 40 years and have seen some of the most extraordinary interventions of God. She's written an amazing book. I was stirred. I was personally stirred reading it to the point that I reached out to Heidi and her ministry and said, hey, please come on the radio and talk with me about it. It's called Birth of the Miraculous, but it's all about how everything comes out of your personal time with God, your personal encounters with God. The whole book is a call to the secret place, and out of those encounters, lives being changed. You can get the book together with the very special interview that we're going to do live from Mozambique. $25, postage paid. You will not be disappointed, especially if you're one who believes in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. So call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here comes Dick. He's wearing a skirt.
Our nation has made great strides on the road to LGBT equality, a cause that I believe is a defining civil rights challenge of our time for President Obama, for me, and for our colleagues at every level of this administration. This work is a top priority.
You know what's remarkable? That was a quote clip from Attorney General Holder speaking at the Human Rights Campaign event, Human Rights Campaign being the world's largest gay activist organization. Back in 2007, we had a budget of about $10,000 that was set apart for, well, that we had raised over the year for issues relating to social righteousness, moral, cultural issues. It's a little under $10,000. Human Rights Campaign budget at that time was $35 million, and we challenged them through a series of lectures and ended up getting directly called out by the then president of the HRC, Joe Solomonese. Since before a lecture series we had on homosexuality, the church, and society. That was Eric Holder at the Greater New York HRC Gala. What's more remarkable than his words, once again, equating gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender activism with the civil rights movement. And by the way, Bishop E.W. Jackson has now officially sought to take action against those in higher places, in government and courts, who are using the civil rights movement to advance gay activism. As a black leader himself, he is speaking out against that. But what's more remarkable is the clip that I just played for you was introduced by a song by The Replacements. The song is called Androgynous. Here comes Dick. He's wearing a skirt. Here comes Jane. You know, she's sporting a chain. Same hair, revolution, same build, evolution. Tomorrow, who's gonna fuss? And they love each other so androgynous, closer than you know, love each other so androgynous. And it goes on. Now something meets boy and something meets girl. They both look the same, and on and on. Tomorrow, Dick is wearing pants. Tomorrow, Janie's wearing a dress. You know, just the back and forth of it. That came out in 1984. Yes, of course, that was our clip edited like that. All right, let's go back, and I just want you to hear a couple of clips from NPR. This is a discussion about gender identification. Let's go to clip number 13. I played a couple of these earlier, not these, but some others. I want to get back to and play again. You need to hear this, and I'm going to go right to your calls. Clip number 13.
A new generation of young people is challenging our understanding of gender.
They're calling for more fluid categories beyond just male and female.
I'm Russell Osden, and I use he, him, his pronouns.
I'm Kessel Feasley, and my PGPs are she, her, hers.
This is happening on many campuses. It's a way of being supportive or an ally to those who are transgender or gender nonconforming. Those who are not cisgender, that is, their emotional gender identity does not match their biology.
And then let's go right to clip number 14. Melissa Block is the host there. You'll hear from Harry Fernandez and some others on this clip as they discuss gender identification.
At the Elizabeth Irwin High School in New York City, there's a student group called Spectrum. The title was chosen because it seemed to represent what students were thinking and feeling much more than Gay Students Association or LGBT or even LGBTQ for queer. I asked Harry Fernandez, a sophomore at the school who identifies as a gay male, what he means by queer.
Kind of straying from the norm, not being what society tells you to be regarding your sexuality, your gender, who you love.
Becca Luna Leibowitz, a freshman in the group, uses Q for another word.
I myself,
questioning. Hey, why conform to what your body says and what society says? You are who you think you are, right? Wrong.
Sing it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me.
Under gender, there's now a custom option, and it allows you to choose from 50 terms. Gender fluid, cisgender, two-spirit, neither, intersex, non-conforming.
Yes, that's Paul Simon with the famous drumming of Steve Gadd at Central Park, performing 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Friends, I want to take people's struggles seriously. But I am not about to start redefining reality based on an infinite number, or be it 50 or 100 or 1,000 or 10 variations for how one describes one's gender. If it's a matter of complete self-perception, then who is to determine reality? Again, I ask a question I asked before. 866-34-TRUTH. Go to the phones in a moment. I ask a question I asked before. If I am absolutely sure to the core of my being that I'm a black man in a white body, and I've always felt that way, does that make me black? And or if it was the reverse, white man in a black body and is absolutely sure and says, well, you can't treat me as a black man, you have to treat me as a white man. Or I say, you can't treat me as a white man, you have to treat me as a black man. Or should I be encouraged in that? Should I be? And if not, why not? If you're going to accept that this kid is a boy today, and 6 months from now he's a girl, and 6 months from now he's a boy and a girl, and 2 years from now he considers himself to not have gender, and you're not going to say, okay, this kid needs help. This kid needs help. If you're not going to do that, and you're not going to define reality based on someone's self-perception, be it to the core of their being, and look, there are... Yeah, I'm not finishing my... You get the answer. Okay, to my point here. Look, there are people who have mental disorders with chemical imbalances, correct? And some of you, that may have been your struggle, or you may have a family member. And when you get medicated, you can operate normally. Otherwise, you have these psychoses. You get agitated, you get fearful, you get violent. And it's actually a physiological issue. But when you're medicated, it goes away. We don't now say that because this is who you really are without medication, therefore this is who you need to be. No, we have other ways of saying what is normal and not. When we get away from God's standards, when we get away even from the common sense of male-female distinctions, which are only challenged in the case of biological ambiguity, in which case we do our best to understand if this child, which is biologically nebulous, is either male or female, and then work with that as the kid grows up. Aside from that category, this is all a matter of what somebody thinks. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Paul in Charlotte, North. All right, I was going to Charlotte. Oh, listen, if you're in Charlotte, join me this Thursday, if you're in the greater Charlotte area, at Southern Evangelical Seminary. I'll be having a dialogue with Professor James Tabor, who heads up the religion department at University of North Carolina, Charlotte, UNC Charlotte, about his book, Paul and Jesus. Admission is $10 for the event. But if you are a ministry school student, seminary student with ID, or a UNC student, you get in for free. For information, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on contact, look for itinerary, and you'll get details there. All right, let's go to Richard in Portland, Oregon. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, I just wanted to share some information that I think people should know. But when I was younger, I got involved with two older men that I had relationships with that were homosexuals, and they recruit boys that need a father into the gay death style. And anyway, when I after about 9 years with my piano teacher, I ended up in a hospital and considered mentally ill. And you know, I see I think a lot more of these kind of problems are going to occur, but I got saved. Thank God I got saved. But
Richard, how old were you when these men took an interest in you?
Well, I was 17 years old with the first man. He was a hairdresser. And then when I was 18, I moved in with my piano teacher, and I had a relationship with him for 9 years. He just died a couple years ago. But,
Richard, let me ask this. From your experience in what you referred to as the gay death style, but from your experience in those circles for however many years you lived like that, would you say that it seemed to you that those who were abused or molested when they were younger had a greater tendency to do so when they were older?
Yeah, I believe so. If I hadn't got saved, you know, I could have ended up being like my piano teacher, you know, because there's so many boys out there that need a father. And what I'm concerned about is information that people need. This information, you could prevent homosexuality if you know some of the root causes. And one of the things is I had an alcoholic, abusive father, but I love my mother, you know, and so I was feminine, like kind of feminine. I thought I looked like a girl when I tied my hair back and things like that. I had long curly hair and was considered good looking. And one of the things I got some information on the root causes of homosexuality from Anthony Felserano of Transformation Ministries or Exodus. Mm-hmm. And it's important that a boy bonds with his father when he's 3 years old, and that the mother gives the boy up to the father, and then he starts to identify with men. And you know, I see this in church sometimes. I was sitting in church a while back, and the man is sitting with his arm around his daughter, and the woman is sitting with her arm around her son, and I want to switch them around, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, Richard, let me just jump in. And obviously, first, thank God for his mercy in your life and that you found salvation and wholeness. And obviously, there can be proper affection, mother towards son and father towards daughter. And those are also very important roles as well. But here's what I want to appeal to everyone. Some of you say, well, that is not what happened with me. Okay, but that's what happened with Richard. In other words, you want me to believe your story. Well, I want you to believe Richard's story. And this way we can have a conversation. Richard, thank you for calling in. Let me give you a website again for those struggling in particular with transgender issues, what we call transgender issues, be it in your own life or in your family. Go to Help for Families. Help, the number 4, families. Helpforfamilies.com. Joseph in Newark, New Jersey, thanks so much for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Yes, hello.
Hello, God bless you, man of God.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I'm always being your supporter. I mean, God bless you for what you're doing and calling it what it is. And there's an abomination before the Lord. There's nothing we could do about it. Is it the God way or no way? It's so sad these people want to continue in this things and being activists and all that. We know the end of it if they don't repent. The judgment of God's going to come on them. There's a merciful, merciful, merciful God and still calling out for these people to repent, turn away from the evil deed and to him, but they still want to continue with their agenda. And it is so sad. I'm looking at, I'm almost calling, they got to be sick or something. I'm not talking about somebody that's struggling with it and calling it sin and trying to get out of it. I'm talking about somebody defending it and then active, you know, go out in public, oh, we got to legalize this, we got to make this legit, and calling other people bigot because they don't agree with them. You got to be sick. I'm sorry, Dr. Brown, call it like this, but you sick.
Yeah, well, Joseph, here's the thing. Certainly there is sin that we're responsible for. In other words, if to the core of my being I cannot forgive someone, well, I'm still commanded to forgive. If to the core of my being I want to hurt someone physically, I'm commanded to love them. If to the core of my being I'm attracted to someone that God says I'm forbidden from having, well, then I have to yield to that. When we decide we're going to do our own thing as believers or unbelievers, then we are sinning. And look, I understand the viewpoint. Once you buy into the identity is who I feel I am, and therefore this is just like civil rights, and therefore the whole society has to back it, I understand how people are going to feel like this. But of course, it's wrongheaded, and of course it leads to absolute social insanity. And that is where we are headed if we don't wake up. Now, I've got some words of encouragement for you, and I want to share those when we come back, get to a couple more calls as well.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, friends, the Church of England has now had to say that it is banning clergy from marrying same-sex couples because the UK has pushed forward same-sex so-called marriage, and now there is an outcry. How can the church do this? Oh, I thought it's fine for the church to say we're not going to be involved. No. Friends, I've told you for years, those who oppose us, those who oppose biblical values, they have branded us hateful, intolerant, bigoted. We are no better than Nazis and KKK. And therefore, the unspoken mantra of gay activism is we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. The article states from pinknews.co.uk, ahead of the announcement, the Archbishop of Canterbury warned that refusing to allow blessings for gay marriage couples could be seen as akin to racism. But of course, it will. In fact, listen to what Attorney General Holder had to say. For those that think I'm still exaggerating things, or I'm still making something out of nothing, listen to what Attorney General Eric Holder had to say at the Human Rights Campaign New York Gala, just a few days back. So this is going to be number 12, Joey. It's almost a minute long, but this is a declaration of where things are going from our Attorney General, and I'm sure speaking on behalf of our president.
We will never rest in our efforts to safeguard the civil rights to which everyone in this country is entitled. And we will never waver in our determination to build on the progress that we've seen and to bring about the changes that all of our citizens deserve. Know this. My commitment to confronting discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity runs just as deep. Just as was true during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, the stakes involved in this generation's struggle for LGBT equality could not be higher. Then, as now, nothing less than our country's founding commitment to the notion of equal protection under the law was at stake. And so the Justice Department's role in confronting discrimination must be as aggressive today as it was in Robert Kennedy's time.
All right. Listen. How many do you know who are speaking up about these issues as we are here on this broadcast? How many do you know they're tackling these issues both with compassion for individuals and families and courage to stand for social righteousness? How many are willing to take the flack, the abuse, the mockery that occurs on a daily basis, online and in other ways, for standing up for truth? Oh, we're not the only voice. I'm not the only voice. Unfortunately, there are few and far between doing it today. Pastors and leaders across the country tell me that. So I need your help. We don't have $45 million designated for this like the Human Rights Campaign has, and there's a host of other gay activist organizations. And when Attorney General Holder said that he's not going to rest, and this is as important as the civil rights movement in the 60s. Remember, he's saying this as a black man himself. So this is of personal importance to him. Look at where he is in society because, thank God, of the success of the civil rights movement. Look who's in the White House. No, I don't agree with the president's policies. You know that in so many ways. But I'm thankful that we're a society that can have prominent black leaders up to the president. All right? That's because of the civil rights movement. Well, in Eric Holder's vision, that's just the same with gender issues. Clip number 15 again from the NPR interview. I played this in the first hour. I want you to hear it once again.
But some students are going further. At one college, things were so fluid you could make up a different pronoun for a different event.
So you can be she, her at one event, and then you go to lunch and you say, okay, now I'm he, him. And then one charming young woman told me, oh yes, today I'm just using made-up pronouns.
We encountered high school students who said, I want you to call me Tractor and use pronouns like Z, Zim, and Zer. And in fact, I reject the gender binary as an oppressive move by the dominant culture.
All right, so this is rebellion against the dominant culture that says gender is defined as male, female. Call me Tractor. Call me Z or Zim or Zer as opposed to he or she or him or her. We've been speaking about these issues, writing about these issues, raising up those who will witness and minister with compassion in the midst of them. And friends, we have invitations to other nations to meet with leaders. I just spoke with a man last week who asked me to go to another continent and help mentor some of the key leaders, national leaders, presidents in that nation. We have an invitation. I can't speak about these things publicly right now. To have national impact on these areas and to bring moral and spiritual sanity to leadership, both secular leadership and church leadership. But we need your help to do this. You say, man, I couldn't do what you're doing. Correct. I can't do your job and you can't do my job. I'm fashioned and made for this just like you're fashioned and made to be who you are. And the word of encouragement I wanted to give you personally, I was speaking yesterday at a local church, and I noticed the bulletin, the church bulletin, it had guest speaker Dr. Michael Brown, and then that whole page is blank. That's where you take notes. And I thought, that's your life. That's my life. It's a blank slate. It can be filled in with fruitfulness. It can be filled in with productivity. It can be filled in with prayer. It can be filled in with quality family time. It can be filled in with high ethics. It can be filled in with purity. It can be filled in with soul winning. It can be filled in with generous giving. It can be filled in with standing for truth. It can be filled in with visiting the sick and on and on and on. It's blank. You get to fill it in. No one can fill in your life for you. You get to fill it in as a servant of the Lord. So I want to encourage you that your life can count, and I want to encourage you to partner with us and to help us as we are on the front lines. I'm called to do it. I'm fashioned to do it. I'm helped by God to do it in this area and other areas, but we do it with your help. We're on the airwaves speaking to you with your help. We are these days praying, fasting, crying out to God for breakthroughs to enable us to continue to do what God has called us to do. Why not become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer? You can do that by going to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just clicking on donate. Why not put aside $1 a day to stand with us for the cause of righteousness, for world missions, for revival in America, and for the salvation of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Also be stirred as you read my latest article, Who Changed Things? It'll inspire you to believe the word for yourself. You can read that also on the website, askdrbrown.org. And our special offer this week, an extraordinary book by an extraordinary woman, Heidi Baker, Birthing the Miraculous. The book and a very special interview we'll do tomorrow live from Mozambique, Africa, for $25, postage paid. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, there is a blank piece of paper with your life. Fill in the blank and make it count for the Lord.